welcome to the Mad Trio podcast. This week we have the California Pariah, Jonathan Charney, James the Fat Man Stevens, and Ryan Corpus Delecti Preston. So we're going to hit off today's show by something that I personally find hilarious. Did any of you guys see that really crappy Power Rangers movies that came out in 2017?
No.
Yeah, I unfortunately fucking did.
So
my afternoon.
So get this. This is the thing I think is hilarious.
Did they do Go-Go Power Rangers?
It had a budget of $100 million. Opening weekend was $40 million. The total U.S. gross was $85 million. That is one of the worst grossing films that I've heard of in a long time that was that big.
Well, you're also forgetting about the $100 fucking million dollars they threw into advertising.
And that thing was everywhere.
They're still trying to sell that movie.
I want to see it just because it looks kind of fun in like a dopey way. Matter of fact, I just heard Disney apparently used to own it. Disney sold it back to Saban. And then I heard today, and I didn't look it up.
I'm just kind of curious, like, and Disney gave the rights back of something?
Yeah, well, they sold
it. Pretty bad.
They sold it back, and apparently, I heard today, and I got to look it up, apparently Saban sold it to somebody else. So apparently this was so bad, they're like, you know, fuck it, we're done. They just, they did a, like, CM Punk pipe bomb. We're done. Which I think is hilarious, because that's, how bad is it when, like, how bad is a property if you just sell it after your movie bombs? Because Disney's had a lot of bombs. They
well,
don't get
and,
rid of shit.
Yeah. Yeah, if anything, they just, they keep it in moratorium, wait till people kind of remember it sort of nostalgically, and then resell it again.
Yeah, I doubt they're going to do that with Eddie Murphy's Haunted House.
Oh, you just wait, sir. They're going to be selling that to your kid when he's 16.
No, no, they won't.
You know,
he may want it.
Yeah, you say that.
I did see Haunted House, and that was...
He may want it at some point in time. Doesn't mean he's going to get it. Sometimes I got to protect him from his choices.
I think it's like what where he dresses up as the old lady movies. Those were better. What the hell were those things called?
The Nutty Professor house? Movies?
Yes.
Big yeah. Mama. I think it was Big Mama where he dressed
oh,
up
that
as a
was
lady.
Martin Lawrence.
I don't give a crap.
And then the other one
I'm
was...
I'm just saying those are better than Haunted House.
And the other one, was it Madeja?
Madea? Oh, that's right. Madea.
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 That's a different guy. Completely different. Yeah. Do they all look the same to you?
I mean,
you racist.
They all dress up like fat white women.
Black women.
No, they want to be white.
Oh, then you're talking about the Wayans brothers. I mean,
well, white
you got to get your movies
there's
right.
There's a better movie for you, too.
So I got to warn you, what I'm about to say is a little bit political. But I
just
think...
disagree with all these guys taking all these women's jobs. How dare they?
It's gender appropriation.
Yeah, they're just like glass
gender
movies.
Appropriation, man. I think we need to start a campaign movement.
So one of the more interesting things coming out of the last couple of days... Is this a report from, what is this? It's the truth about handguns or something like that. I've never heard of the blog, but I've read this across a couple of different sites. The ammunition company Hordenday has decided it won't sell any ammunition. It won't sell any ammunition to any New York State agency after being threatened by what a New York City politician the New York City politician basically said, you guys should stop doing business with ammo sellers. So one of the biggest manufacturers of ammo basically said, okay, we're done selling ammo, which is also what one of my favorite manufacturers of firearms, Barrett, said to California. Basically, Barrett said, we won't sell anything to any California agencies. I've heard in passing that if the California State Agency sends in their like Barrett Lightweight 50 for repairs, Barrett doesn't return it. I don't know if it's true, but that's what I've heard.
So, John, can you say nuclear for me?
No.
Okay.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens if over time all these ammo sellers just decide not to sell to any federal or state agency.
Oh, I'm down with that. I don't care. They can figure out how to do their own reloads.
Because there's still third parties that are will sell the ammunition to the third part to the state, but those but the businesses that sell ammo could, in theory, just say, okay, we won't do business with any company that sells to state agencies.
That's not a bad idea.
So
if there's a stupid company or stupid state agency that's throwing a fit over a gun-related company, I mean, they have the right to refuse them service.
See, that's the one thing I don't understand. I mean, I don't really like the fact you have any state politicians telling banks, saying, hey, this guy sells ammo, don't do business with him. I mean, let the market decide. Don't force him out of it. I mean, I think that's really fucked up.
Yeah. I mean, it's supposed to be a free capitalist market. Obviously, they don't want it that way.
I mean, Ryan, what do you think? You're a little left of center.
He likes socialism.
on particular companies declining to sell ammunition to like state and federal, like we're talking like police departments.
Hornady, I've never been able to say their name right.
Hornady. They've
basically said they were going to refuse to sell any ammo to any New York state agency. Period.
I'm okay with that.
Any of them.
I think they should stop selling to the IRS too.
Well, they've got enough ammunition for a while.
Well, I mean, look, it's the company's prerogative to do business with who they want to do business with. You know, there's no shortage of government contractors when it comes to things like ammunition. You know, so I mean, they might be a popular one, and it might be a favorite amongst the members of such places. Yeah,
Do you think this is gonna? I'm kind of hoping this is going to become more popular, just because I'm curious to see what happens if, say, all the gun makers in the United States basically say, we're going to not only refuse to sell to any law enforcement, state agency, or federal, we won't sell to any LEOs. I mean, so what happens if they blankly state, okay, if you're law enforcement, if you're this, you can't buy anything? Of course, you could always buy through like a third party, but it would be interesting to see the fallout.
As long as they're not, I mean, they could probably go down and buy Hornady just from any store if they want to. But I mean,
as an officer. I don't see like the New York.
I might have missed this though. Why are they doing this?
What happened is there's a New York politician that was kind of threatening, and he's in some sort of financial part of it. Basically, kind of loosely threatened some of these banks and other businesses not to do business with any ammunition or gun manufacturers. If you haven't been paying attention, some of the major banks have stopped doing business with gun manufacturers, gun parts makers, ammo manufacturers. And so he basically...
Wait, stop doing business with, like, stop taking their money?
Yeah, stop doing business with them, period. Yeah,
don't allow them to store their money in that company.
So what it is...
Bank of America, Wells Fargo...
So a New York State...
Okay, so big giant...
banks.
So this is all on the heels of the latest shooting. Is that what I'm getting, or
propaganda
movement?
I think what it is it's just the perfect opportune time for them to flex a muscle that they know some people will vote for. So what it was is New York State Comptroller Thomas J. DiNapoli made when he sent a friendly letter to most of the nation's largest financial institutions. And he hinted, wink, wink, that it could be bad for their business if they continue to facilitate transactions that involve firearms and related products. So it's, you know, pretty much the old mob thing, you know. I would hate to have something happen to you if you continue doing your, you know.
Well, it's an interesting tactic because now all of a sudden they're turning them into like, I mean, it's the same thing going on with like California weed people, you know, the people who feel that they're legally abiding by the state law and selling, you know, either medicinal or recreational marijuana. They're not allowed to, I mean, they're dealing in cash. And they're dealing in large amounts of cash.
The weirdest thing about,
you know, but the problem is that anytime something like this happens, the argument from both sides becomes really disingenuous. It just becomes about sort of bashing the other person's side and not actually ending up discussing any fucking topics. There might be a discussion in the middle of this somewhere, you know.
The weirdest part about I'd say the weirdest part about this is weed is still a scheduled drug federally. So legally, no banks can actually do business with any, any FTC or whatever you call it can no longer can't do it because it's still illegal. Guns aren't technically federally illegal, so basically banks are choosing not to do business, which it's their right.
But banks are private companies, right? They can choose to do business with who they want to do business with. That's a lot of money they're going to be leaving on the table. So it's interesting they're going with the political motivation. It's perfectly within their constitutional rights.
I'm curious to see. The one
group of people who are not concerned about guarding their own money is gun people.
Well, that's what I thought it was kind of funny. But it's just interesting to see that's what they're doing. I mean, politically, it's not a bad idea. I mean, it's
stupid.
It's stupid, but politically, it's a hell of a move. But it'll be interesting to see what the fallout of this is, because it's going to get worse. Because that's why Magpul left Colorado.
The actual motivation. The actual political motivations of all of this is what's interesting to me, is because it's really hard to parse out these days. I don't watch 24-hour news cycles or read every newspaper, so it's hard to tell the people that just have really loud voices versus the large mass of people all talking at once. You know, I tend to want to listen to the large group of people all talking at once, because that's a consensus attitude or opinion. Then there's these small groups of really loud people that just yell really loud, and they make it seem like it's a lot of people, and it's really not. But this one really seems to be kind of divided. You know what I mean? I grew up around gun people, but I also grew up around, you know, California people who are not gun people by nature.
See, I've heard the statistics, and I wish I wrote them down, because I heard it in passing a couple of days ago, that the majority of the people in the United States aren't really in favor of gun control. So it's really a small minority of people who are for.
Depends on the poll, how many people were sampled, who did the poll. I mean, so there's a lot of things, and there's a lot of things that both sides can say. That's my point, is that it becomes about these sort of like numbers that people throw around, where the left always, and I say the left, you know, just as a blanket fucking, you know, I mean like the,
you have to point a direction.
You're the devil.
Well, I mean, you have to actually point, because you say the right or left, it gives you at least a people to talk about, because you can't say, you have to point at a certain type of people. I will say I don't want to,
because I don't really play the whole identity politics thing. I don't identify with one thing or another. And I think most intelligent people don't either. You know, they subscribe to good ideas, not necessarily, I identify as this, and that's how, you know, Republican on my fucking bumper. You know, more complicated than that. So, but people know what I mean by the left on this one, I guess. When they misrepresent, you know, gun deaths per year, and they sort of make it seem like, look, this is all people being murdered by guns, and like more than half of them are suicide, and you know, shit like that.
It's suicides, it's accidents, it's.
And then you have the right also saying that any gun legislation whatsoever is tantamount to fucking treason.
Damn right.
And should never be discussed.
But you
get my point, is that both of those are knee-jerk fucking reactions, because the other side's point. You know,
I still want to,
you gun people are bad.
So let me interject here real quick, because I'm on the right of center. I'm far as gun stuff. I'm as right leaning on this as you can actually get. I'm actually at the extreme edge of it.
I don't know. James might have you fucking beat with wanting, you know, rocket launchers and A-10 warthogs and shit.
We're actually kind of line up a little bit on that. But I would, most
made,
people,
I, have it.
I would say 9 out of 10 people. No, I say 7 out of 10 people I actually know personally, or for common sense gun stuff, and you know, like background checks. We're talking about, make sure that if you have a violent felony or violent misdemeanor, you can't have it. You know, stuff like that. Which,
well,
but I do know people personally that say you shouldn't have an AR-15. It's a weapon of war, which technically not really, because it's, you know, there's some limitations on that.
Of war right here.
Literally the AR-15 is just a semiotic rifle that looks scary. And when you explain that to them, they still, it's a visceral reaction because of the way it looks.
Well, look, most of the people that are saying these things, and yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people who also do agree in sort of the comments and stuff, and there's really specific things that can be addressed on those issues. Not just, I mean, because people never get past the point of saying we need common sense gun laws. Nobody ever gets farther into that argument to say, okay, now what specifically? You know, and that's the problem is when you have the left saying you fucking crazy gun people and the right saying fuck you, I'm not crazy, you know, you fucking liberal hippie piece of shit.
Well, see, as a gun guy,
snowflake argument on one side and the crazy gun nut on the other side, and neither one of those are true.
See, as a gun guy in California, and we'll switch to a different topic after this, is a gun for guy from California, the only thing they do is take. And take they limit and they keep limiting. You know, if you want to do a compromise, you know, sure. That what's the compromise? What a good compromise is where nobody is happy. In California, on this particular issue, it doesn't happen. You end up getting, you know, limitations. Like California, there hasn't been any new firearms because of the list for 5-10 years.
Well, that's the thing that always pisses me off, because I'm with you guys as far as, look, I grew up shooting guns, you know what I mean? My grandfather taught me how to shoot when I was a kid. He lived out in New Mexico, so when we go visit, you know, that was like my favorite thing in the world. But I like it as a sport, as a recreation, and I've always known people like you guys who always looked at it the same way, you know. It's a fun activity, but most of the arguments that I notice that, you know, that go beyond sort of like the common sense gun laws is coming from people who don't understand anything about firearms, you know? So there's a big mystery that exists in a lot of people's heads, and to fill that vacuum, all they have are these sort of talking points from other people who don't really understand firearms, which frustrates me, because I would like to have the argument with somebody as far as like, okay, listen, let's go to a range, let's shoot some guns, let's learn about them, let's understand what they are, you know, how they operate, what your role in that operation is, and then let's have a discussion based on what you know about the safety and the regulations and how everybody that I know and respect treats those tools.
Now, the one argument that I've heard, and I don't fault them for this. I don't necessarily agree with the way they go with it, but I do know people who will say, you know, if you save a life, and you know, I totally understand that is guns are the most expedient way to kill because it's quick. It's easier than a bomb in some reason, because with bombs, there's a little forethought. You can't save everybody. And trust me, I when it comes to human life, I'm the top person. It's like, if you can save somebody, I'm totally for it. But you cannot get everybody out of the system. Some of these people who have killed, not only did the system fail them, or they just didn't know this person was nuts. So you can't filter everybody out. You cannot filter.
Yeah, that's the real kind of disturbing argument. But it's really the argument is that, yeah, there with our laws and our constitution and the way our due process works, you can't for, you know, commit somebody to a sentence before they've done something, which, I mean, sounds fucked up when you're talking about, you know, a potential mass shooting or something like that. Like, hey, listen, some people slip through the cracks, but there can be these markers that we can find that we can discuss and say, okay, yeah, these things, like my girlfriend was telling me fucking last week or a couple weeks ago about, you know, one particular gun law being, you know, like any domestic violence or whatever, you know, any domestic violence, and they'll just bar you right out from having a firearm. But there's like a boyfriend loophole or something of that nature where, you know, if you have some stalker type dude, you know, and it was just a boyfriend or something like that, then, you know, there's these things. But that's what I'm saying, these really specific things that can be on the table, but we never get past the fuck you argument.
Well, part of it, I think part of this is because there's such a difference in culture. Like, for example, I would say when my dad was a kid, when my grandfather was a kid, guns were part of everyday life in some form or another. Everybody knew somebody that had a gun, or gun education was in schools. And I've met people who have never seen a gun besides Call of Duty. So I still think, and I can understand the visceral reaction of not wanting it, but if they did basic education of this is a gun, this is how it works. This, because when I was a kid, they did the whole thing of, you know, John, what do you do when you find a gun laying on the street? You know, it was like, go tell an adult, you know. There's none of that anymore. There's no basic education. I think if you do that, then you give everybody a good foundation on where to start communicating. Because well, I'm coming from a point
where you have ammunition, then hide it.
Well, because I'm coming from a point where I know a lot about guns because I've been shooting since I was five. It's been a major part of my life. It's been something I've enjoyed my whole life. To people who I know that hate guns, don't want anything due to guns, but they don't know anything about guns. They think that guns work magically. Like, that'll go
yeah,
off.
Yeah, and well, and here's the thing is they don't.
Yeah.
Not a lot of people know a lot of people like me in these scenarios where like I'm fucking anti-war like a crazy son of a bitch. I'm not a big fan of state-sponsored executions. I mean, just morally speaking. But I fucking really like target shooting, you know, and going out to rifle ranges and
you can target fucking shoot shit. Death row inmates.
My favorite argument.
I'm shooting with you guys again.
My favorite argument I've used, and I've gotten a couple of mixed reactions, is in 1860, you used firearms to get groceries.
Basically,
what I'm saying there is they're a tool. They're like a shovel. They're a hammer. It comes down to the basic argument of who's responsible. And I really do think this is the crux of the matter is I say it's the human heart. The person behind it pulls the trigger. He's the one or she's the one that does the action. That person is guilty. And in my opinion, and I could be wrong, this is what I see, this is my opinion only, is it seems like people who are anti-gun don't place the blame on the person, but the tool. And I don't understand.
Yeah, that's my problem is I don't, and I agree with you. I don't think that the slip through the cracks argument is like, oh, this person slipped through the cracks of being able to purchase firearms. More so than this person, I mean, we should all feel the guilt of this person slipped through the cracks of society that he got to this point where this actually took place, whether it was with a firearm or with a vehicle or a knife or what have you.
I will say, and we really need to switch to a happier topic. I got the perfect one. I will say, I don't want those people who shouldn't have a gun to get a gun. I'm literally one of the biggest gun guys I know, and I'm not bragging. I'm just being truthful.
You're one of the biggest gun guys I know.
If you're crazy, if you're insane, I don't want you to have a gun because not only do you not have the ability to handle it, you're a danger to other people.
Let's say this. We have all personally known people we would never fucking hand a firearm to.
Or a key to a vehicle.
Or a key to a vehicle, or a pea shooter, or fucking any sharp objects.
Scissors, kindergarten safety scissors.
So here's the deal.
We as responsible fucking people can tell the difference, and we don't want those people to have guns either.
I've never been around somebody like that where I've never really put myself in a situation with guns like that. I took a church group shooting one time, and none of them had really been around guns. The first thing I did was hand them a gun. It was unloaded. I know. I always check. I handed it to them. I wanted to see what they did. You know, some of them were looking at it, doing all this, and I said, okay, here's the deal. I'm going to explain some basic rules because I don't want to die.
You're right.
Exactly. You're welcome to kill yourself if you want to, but here's some basic safety things. You know, go through the steps. What's the first thing you do? Look, I don't know.
Check if it's loaded.
Yeah, so, you know, it's there's two things. Is, you know, lock the slide back, eject the magazine, or the other way around. Make sure it's safe. The first thing is to make sure the weapon is not going to shoot you. And so that's what I've always done. I mean, I know people in the military that I felt comfortable with just being friends, but I've never put myself in a situation where I was in danger because I'm a big gun guy. I kind of get the feeling, okay, this motherfucker's crazy. I'm not going to get in a gun range with him.
I've known John for about 20 years. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't. And I remember the first time he did hand me a gun. We were hanging out, and I remember him handing me a gun. I checked it, looked it around, didn't point it at anybody. Even myself, didn't touch the trigger either. I just looked at it and handed it back, and he never questioned me about gun safety ever since because he saw what I did.
Now, see, here's all I kind of needed to know when I started hanging around gun people, okay? And you guys would be able to know the scenario immediately. Fucking same scenario. Johnny hands you a fucking pistol, unloaded. You just watched him check the magazine and rack the slide back and make sure there's nothing in the chamber. He hands you that gun. You do the exact same thing. Check the magazine, unload, you know, make sure there's nothing in the chamber, etc. And then you sweep Charney with the fucking end of that pistol. For those of you who aren't aware, sweeping means you move the barrel of the gun from one side of a person right past them in their direction, you know, to another side.
You might get punched.
You both just check that firearm was fucking perfectly safe. You will both be fucking, Charney would look at you like, you stupid asshole.
And military people call it being smoked, because I would scream at your dumbass.
There would be words exchanged.
when I showed the church group I used to be a part of, the guns, I didn't check, they never actually saw me physically check it. I took it from my case, I double checked it, you know, in my bedroom. I handed him the firearm because I wanted to see what their knowledge was. I didn't want to give him any hints because, you know, if, in my opinion, in this scenario was, I want to see how much they knew. Because to me, that's
interesting. It's an interesting experiment in instinct also, you know?
So one of my favorite stories is I used to help the old guy do CCW classes, and some of the CCW classes you had to do range qualifications. And I've been around gun guys.
Concealed carry weapons permit for those of you who aren't initiated.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, thank you. And I've been around guns my whole life. I've never felt unsafe around any gun, around anybody until then. There was been a few times that I was ready to just, you know, hit the deck. And I've never I've never felt unsafe around guns, because as a gun guy, the first thing I'm doing is I'm watching the gun. I don't give a fuck about your face. I don't care if you're cute. I want to know where your fucking trigger is in your finger. And there's a few times that I'm like, Dad, you better take care of this guy.
I'd probably disarm them. Just walk up and lock their wrist and take the gun.
So to switch to a little happier topic, I've got a topic. It's not really happy, but it's fucking amazing. They caught one of probably the biggest serial killer in California history last week.
Oh man, I've been talking about this. Confirmed. I've been talking about this all fucking week.
It's called the Golden State Killer. They called him the original Night Stalker, which, you know, you're talking about Richard Ramirez, so there's this huge.
This guy had kills from the late 70s up until the mid 80s, I believe.
Yeah, it was. I read it was from 1976 to 1986.
Yes. Actually, I heard it was later, like it went earlier in the 70s.
Oh, wow, really?
There was a lady I think she got raped in like 74 by this guy.
Oh, wow.
And she survived the thing. But
I think you're about right on like the mid early to mid 70s early to mid 80s. But crazy, fascinating ass story.
Yeah, I believe he is only being actually charged with 8 counts, if I'm not mistaken. Well, might have changed when I first came
across
it.
The way that they caught him was incredibly interesting. Now, this actually took place mostly up where you guys are in Sacramento area.
Well, they actually credit him with, I think it's like 4 kills in the, not really the belt, the liberal areas of California, but it was more in like the
Central Valley.
Yeah, Central Valley, where they do a lot of, it's the basically.
Yeah,
the,
well, the up there, definitely up there.
Modesto. Which, if you're not familiar, with California, but
Sacramento, he was down here. He was down here in Orange County, I guess. Riverside County.
He was doing landscaping.
So here, investigators in California spent decades searching for an elusive criminal who terrorized Californians by committing at least 120 burglaries, at least 50 rapes, and 12 murders, potentially making him one of the greatest bad guys of all time.
Okay, so they're doing 12 killings, okay.
So it was crazy. The way they caught him...
Well, let's go with most prolific and not greatest.
No, I like... Well, yes, most prolific is probably a better way to say it, because this dude's a stupid, angry coward. It's just crazy. Like how they caught him. So how they caught him kind of gave me the ookie factor. Basically what they did is they somehow got a hold of his DNA, and they put him into one of those DNA tests. It was an open source free DNA test. Basically what they did is they sorted through the DNA until certain things matched and went from there. Patton Oswalt's wife actually died. He's a comedian, by the way. Died.
Yeah, Patton Oswalt. Yeah, the comedian. Yeah, his wife was a true crime writer, and died while investigating it. Yeah.
So I just this whole case has been, I've been paying attention to it since day one, and usually I don't pay attention to this stuff, but this is because I never heard of this guy.
So you guys want to hear something interesting? And I'm actually very, very, very curious if this is what my summons is for. I got a jury summons at the beginning of this week. From the Fed.
Oh, jeez.
For Sacramento. And this would
be. Oh, that'd be the fucking greatest thing in the world. Because
there's nothing big federally that is going on in Sacramento than this.
So, you know what the biggest problem is? There's a moratorium. I kind of hope you get on so, like, after the case, you can talk about it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That would be the greatest fucking thing in the world. But, it's awful that this all happened.
Yeah, for, you know. Close to 200 victims, and we're all celebrating.
We're not fucking asking you to tell me what's going on.
Well, no, the only reason why I think it would be interesting is
because... I know what a piece of shit I am.
Well, it would be interesting because I don't know anybody... I don't know anybody who's been on a case like this. Like, I would say the same thing about the people who are on the OJ trial, because I'd be like, okay, tell me more. Tell me more, because you're talking about a case that potentially would be the biggest case of any serial individual in history.
Oh, this is going to be the case of the century.
Yeah.
And that's it's a little macabre, but it's fucking interesting. I'm super curious about this.
And that's the actually horrible thing is that I'm also one of those people that knows a shit ton about serial killers over the past maybe 5-6 centuries. I've paid attention to what it's been going on. I mean, you know, rare, weird cases that.
So
I did
hear something on a local talk radio show that I thought was hilarious. Apparently, in the middle of hurting people, he would go to another room and cry.
Yeah.
Apparently, he would talk to his mommy or say stuff like that.
Well, and he booby trapped his victims too. He would set things on them so that if they woke up or moved, and well, he's in the other room, that he'd be alerted.
Did that to a lady's husband. And the other one was apparently one of the ladies said he was less than well endowed. And so apparently the morning show I was reading was saying that's why he did something. He's just very tiny.
Yeah, that could be. That could be it. But, yeah.
Which there's a new statistic. Anybody dude with a small wang is going to end up being a serial killer.
Yeah. So yeah, that I thought that was interesting that I got a jury summons from a federal court the same time that this guy got arrested in the midst.
I'm sorry. 1974 through 1986, he committed crimes throughout the state and acquired variations, monikers in different regions before conclusively linked that all were the same person, beginning as the Vasilla Ransacker before later moving to Sacramento, moving from the East Bay Area Rapist, and finally the original Night Stalker and the Diamond Knot Killer.
Yeah, the interesting thing about this is what he just pointed out and saying, you know, the years. The LA Times and the ABC News both have it marked as 1976 when it starts in 1974 is the first reported case that he did, because if you guys are stupid and don't recognize things, he got away with a lot more murders than he's being charged with.
Well, that's usually the case.
Yeah, like, I mean, there's so many people that are like, oh, he only got charged with this. He's got this many, so he doesn't have over that. No, the good dude got away with shit, too. I mean, you can't just think that he didn't.
Well, it's just like the other news. This is, by the way, this is going to be the macabre show. One of the biggest comedians of all time got convicted, will spend the rest of his life in jail. Bill Cosby is basically being convicted for one rape.
Yeah.
When there's a line. I mean, him and Harvey Weinstein could have comparisons on who has the bigger line on being a fucking creepy bastard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's... I think that he just... You know, I think at this point of his life, it's kind of the thing. Just put him in there for life. I mean, the most, 10 years, it's life.
It's a moral victory for both of these guys. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's not about, oh, we get to watch them rot in prison. I don't really get the sick pleasure out of that like some people do, but it's just, you know what? Fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, okay, you're not getting away with shit like you thought you were. So, yeah, you know, it might take a while, but fuck you.
The most amazing thing, and I didn't know this until yesterday, actually, apparently they were going to give him a deal. Look, you just say you're a sex offender. You register for the rest of your life. You'll be out for the rest of your life. And apparently he thought he had the moral high ground, or there wasn't anybody that can convict him. He turned it down.
Cosby?
Yeah, because he didn't want to be a registered sex offender. It's like, look, you obviously did it. If there's 30 women who said I woke up and he was on top of me type of deal, you could say no to one. 30 or 10 or however they were, kind of hard to say no to. I mean, that's, don't you think?
Yeah, I just think he should just
He's gonna
the plea deal and be done.
He's gonna die in prison. I just thought it was amazing.
They're beyond plea deal. This was a retrial from the mistrial before. This is beyond plea and shit out.
Yeah. Oh yeah, no, he got convicted. He's done. It's just amazing. And Bill Cosby, when I was a kid in the '80s, he was huge.
Oh yeah.
It's just, who would have thought I would have lived in the world where Trump is president and Mr. Huxtable rapist.
The Simpsons did it. I don't know if they actually did the Bill Cosby as a rapist, but, you know, probably now they do.
I don't know. This blew my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's insane.
Yeah, it is.
It's really nutty. I mean,
that's one of the funny things is, you know, Al Bundy is actually the real good father these days. I mean, come on. Good job, Ed O'Neill.
Man,
it's a fantastic actor, by the way.
I don't know. I'm just thinking...
Yeah, fuck yeah.
So because this has been such a dreary couple of weeks, I've actually been reading about Desmond Thomas Doss. You know, have you heard that name?
No.
He is the gentleman in Heartbreak Ridge. He was the guy who is the only conscientious objector to ever win the Congressional Medal of Honor.
Oh, yeah, that guy.
I haven't seen the movie. It's actually on the list. It's like at the top of my list. And I've been reading about him. I've seen every interview with Mel Gibson about it. This dude was badass. He basically said, no, I'm never going to fire a handgun or a weapon in war, but saved a ton of people. It's amazing to me.
Why would you join the military?
So from what I've read and from other clips I've seen in the movies, it was the fact that during World War II, he felt he had to do something. Because apparently he could have gotten a deferment because he was working for a defense factory or something like that. But he's one of these guys who thought, look, my country's in need. I want to serve.
Okay.
But his beliefs, and I think he's Seventh-day Adventist, according to what I've read. He basically said, look, I can't kill anybody.
He's definitely not Mormon. They kill you.
He said... Jeez.
What? It's true.
You know, I thought it was amazing, though. I've never heard of anybody basically refusing to pick up a weapon but wanting to serve in a theater of war.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. Oh, I mean, you got a Hawkeye.
And he was in the Battle of Guam, the Battle of Layette, and the Battle of Okinawa.
Wow. A few of those are actually pretty hardcore battles.
I think it's amazing. If you guys haven't seen it, I'd recommend seeing it.
I do want to see it.
Just on the reviews I've read and the interviews with Mel Gibson. You may not like Mel Gibson, but he's one of my all-time favorite directors for what he does.
Yes. He actually is a really good director.
He shot the whole movie in 59 days, from what I've heard.
Wow.
Which is really fucking quick.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like boom, 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 boom.
Actually, 59 days, depending on what you're doing, that's actually a pretty decently long shoot schedule.
A war movie? With that many moving pieces?
Like I said, it depends on what you're doing, but I mean, it's not that short.
I don't know.
It's a little over a year, John. So, yeah.
59 days.
Oh, 59 days. I think I was going weeks.
No, he had 50. From what I heard, he had 59 days.
That's still almost 2 months. It's not that bad.
I mean, so the only other...
I mean, if you're doing every day.
The only other person that I'm aware of that had similar beliefs but actually killed people would be Sergeant York. Okay. I don't know. I'm amazed by people
like
that.
Was he a pilot, Sergeant York?
I think he was a ground pounder in World War One, from what I've seen. I've seen the movie. I just don't know a whole lot about him personally. I don't know. I like these stories when you have people who, through great tragedy or great, you know, rise to the top. You know, like Desmond Doss has stuff like that. I just find it an amazing story because I don't know too many people who would be willing to do it. I don't know if I would do that. I mean, I'm not going to.
Well, I would actually fire a weapon, but yeah, I'd go do
it. I mean, is it so hard for everybody to believe that Martin Luther King and Gandhi kind of got it right? You know what I mean? That things can be solved without violence?
So personally, it's against human nature. And you and I could battle back and forth on why. See, I don't. Because if you watch children, if you've ever been around children, they're violent. They tug.
Yeah, but
it's
just the better angel of our nature just sort of dictate that we go towards the benefit of both parties, which is not through violent action and me stealing your shit, because all that ends up doing is, you know, creating conflict, and now I got to watch my back for stealing your shit. I mean, it might be something that's a little hard learned for some people.
People don't want it comes back to compromise. A good compromise is where nobody is truly happy, and nobody wants a compromise. And you could say why. I mean,
no,
you could, you,
that's
no,
not.
That's 100. That's 100% it. Nobody wants to be at a point.
Because I disagree that all compromise, both parties lose. That's not the case.
No, you're not losing. You both win, but you both don't get exactly what you want.
That's the thing, is that you get what you need, and getting what you want, you know, might not be in the best interest of other people. So you fucking suck it up like the rest of us.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for Jonathan Charney, James Stevens, and Ryan Preston, the Mad Trio thanks you for watching.
Goodbye.